K105 on DGS. Not a normal DGS day today. We're actually turning this first hour that would normally be our free-for-all with Ronj and Amy and then all the rest of us into a one-hour pre-game show. So opening day for the Cardinals is in Los Angeles this afternoon. We got a 3:10 first pitch right here on Camo X. Matt Pauly's got you covered from 2:15 with the start of the official pregame show, the Cardinals Radio Network pregame show. He'll take you all the way up to John and Rick for the lineups and all that right before the first pitch. But first pitch is scheduled for 3:10 today, so we're a little bit more than 2 hours away from the start of the 2024 baseball season. And, of course, Matt will be back after the game to break it all down for you and tell you whether or not they're going to go 162-0 or 0-162. Opening day usually means a lot of overreactions and over-analysis. Like whether it's good or bad today, I'm not trying to tell you which one it's going to be. I don't know. It's Miles Michaelis for the Cardinals. It's Tyler Glasnow for the Dodgers. Glasnow on paper is the better pitcher and on the radar gun too. But, I mean, it's one game. A win against the Dodgers today doesn't mean the Cardinals are on their way, and a loss doesn't mean, oh, my God, it's 2023 all over again. Everybody just relax. Today should just be fun. This should be fun. I'm walking around the building. I'm walking around Camo X wishing everybody a happy new year today because this is the start of the new year for me. Opening day of a baseball season is the start of a new year for me, and I know it is exactly the same for Ricky Horton, who's going to join us here in a second. We got a busy hour. Ricky's coming up here a second. Tom Ackerman's going to join us after the bottom of the hour. And as I mentioned, we get past 2 o'clock. Around 2:15 is when the pregame show, the official pregame show starts with our buddy Matt Pauly. In the middle of all that, I've got some predictions on the National League Central Division, some larger picture thoughts on the Cardinals for the year, and maybe a couple things bigger picture in Major League Baseball. So starting our baseball coverage early, and we get to kick it off with our buddy Rick Horton, who obviously is in Los Angeles. Cardinals and the Dodgers coming up this afternoon on Camo X. He'll be on the call with John Rooney, of course. Rick, happy new year. I know this is something that you and I as baseball lifers, and of course you get a little bit more of the special feels because you did this as a player, but you really can't beat opening day, can you?
Well, it's just part of my life for so long, Kevin, that, you know, it's like, it just fits. I mean, it's spring, it's baseball, it's opening day, it's excitement, it's newness. It's a chance to kind of forget about things in the past that were bad and move on and kind of create a new future. It's got a sense to me that's very deep, I would say. And it's been so ingrained in my life for so long that, you know, baseball, spring go together. But then opening day on top of that is just got all the pageantry to it. And, you know, Daryl Porter told me my first year in the big leagues, he walked over to me as we were getting ready to stand up at the on the foul line, and he showed me the goosebumps on his arm. And he said, I still have these, and you will always have these. And I've never forgotten him telling me that.
Man, I do too, and I don't even get to be down there in field like getting ready to play. I think a lot of people feel that same anticipation. And this year, obviously, we've got our big home opener next week, and we all know what Cardinals home opener is all about, and we will be having all kinds of great stuff all day long, our kegs and eggs celebration outside the ballpark. Tom and I will be doing the pre-game, Rick. We'll be warming everybody up for you guys to take over when we get to the big celebration. So that's next week. But I got to believe that Cardinals-Dodgers opening day in L.A. is going to be something crazy with Ohtani being there, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Tyler Glasnow, who's starting opening day for the Dodgers, with Miles Michaelis for the Cardinals. The Dodgers are always a big story, but they might be the biggest story in baseball as far as just hype.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt, and there's several reasons that have gone into that hype, and one of them is the dollars they spent,
yeah,
and the names that they have, but they're also, you know, a lot like the Cardinals. You know, I experienced opening day as a Dodger, too. So I you know, being in L.A. and kind of getting that feel of what the tradition of the Dodgers organization is all about, which I think, you know, we understand in the Cardinal world.
Mm-hmm.
Dodger Stadium is a special place. So I think, you know, and I think about it, you know, from some of the guys that have never had an opening day. And they'll be on the Dodgers and they'll be on the Cardinals. They've mm-hmm. never had this experience. And Dean Kiekhefer is one of our coaches. I've been in the big leagues a few different times. But on the plane we were talking, he's never been at an opening day.
Wow.
So he's amped up. And I just, you know, thinking about it through his eyes, you know, it's pretty special. But, you know, the Dodgers, yes, you've got Ohtani, who's become an even bigger story of late. And ooh, you know, yeah. who knows where that's going? But the point is, you know, he's the game's best player. I mean, if not the best player that's ever played the game. And so it's going to be rocking and rolling at Dodger Stadium, no question about it.
All right, on that note, let's start with some Cardinals storylines. And on that note of first opening day, you don't want it to happen this way with injuries to Tommy Edman, Lars Nootbaar, mm-hmm. and Dylan Carlson. But Victor Scott gets to experience this, and man, is he an exciting player.
We enjoyed watching him play this spring. You know, he's a good kid, and, you know, I say he's a kid. Well, he is a kid. Frankly, very young player. but he can play. I mean, he plays the game like a man. He plays defense as well as you're going to see a center fielder play. And he was a Gold Glover in the minor leagues, and he runs the bases like crazy, and he's fearless and all of that. And I think he actually has a pretty good idea at the plate, too. He doesn't chase. He's got a good idea of the strike zone. And so, you know, I think the thought was, and I think the original thought was still right, that you would prefer to give him some time in AAA to develop even more. But, you know, the way it is now with Dylan going down, the need is there. I mean, you get three center fielders that can't play center field because of injuries with Edman and Nootbaar and now Dylan Carlson. And I really feel bad for Dylan, by the way. We don't see, I mean, he worked so hard this spring and arguably the number one producer for the Cardinals offensively in spring training and getting ready to kind of take that everyday spot in center, and unfortunately gets hurt again.
It's the worst. I mean, especially because it was one of those plays where it's a total in-betweener. You know, I don't think that's a ball that is anybody's ball necessarily. I mean, nobody got there. right?
Yeah. And that's how I tried to describe it. I think, you know, the easy thing to say, and Jordan Walker says he didn't hear him calling anything. Well, he didn't know he was going to catch it. In fact, he didn't catch it.
Right.
You've got two people that, you know, they're not calling for it because they can't catch it. So it's just kind of the reality of sports that you have those moments where it's just, you know, the wrong place at the wrong time. And I think it's not a fault situation at all for either one of them. It's just two guys playing hard and they happen to collide. And, you know, I wouldn't want to run into Jordan Walker. I can tell you that.
Oh, man. We were joking about it here. Let's see, out via text. It was me and Tom Ackerman, Matt Pauly, and our boss, Steve Moore, right after it happened. And Steve said something like, it's almost like running into Lawrence Taylor. And I wrote back, no, Jordan Walker's bigger than Lawrence Taylor.
Right.
And I looked it up.
Bigger.
So it's 6'3", 235 compared to Walker at 6'6", 250.
So Walker, and according to Mike Claiborne, he's got the latest scales. He's 257. I think he asked him the other day. So and I think the difference between what he was in the 240s and 250 now is strength. He's not only kind of a big guy, but he's actually put on some muscle, and that's going to help him in the long season.
Well, there, you know, you got a few young guys in there that are going to be mixed in not only on opening day, but for until further notice. We mentioned Victor Scott, obviously Jordan Walker, Mason Wynn is that as well. Those are three really exciting players. And Rick, they're guys that I'm sure have to learn the ropes as they go, but they're three guys that when it comes to physical ability, they're just no questions.
And they're surrounded by some veteran guys like they were not last year, if you think about that. And that was kind of the plan, the blueprint, was to get guys like Brandon Crawford, although he came late, and Lance Lynn and Gibson and Carpenter, getting kind of veteran guys in so they can help lead the way with some of the young players, like what Mason went. Mason's a terrific player. And it's just, you know, you don't want to make him a terrific player and the leader and this, I mean, all at once. Mm-hmm. I mean, let him play and let him develop. Let him be under the radar a little bit. And I think that was the plan. And I think that happened in spring training. And I have to say also, Wheels, the last two games that the Cardinals played in spring training in Arizona, it's been a whirlwind travel thing for those guys for sure, and even for us covering the games. But playing those two games against the Cubs in Mesa, I think has turned a switch for the Cardinals. They played better. There's a bigger crowd. Hmm. It was the Cubs. It was an inter league rivalry thing, and I noticed a little extra bounce in their step, and I feel like kind of the spring training ho-hum turned into competition, and maybe just at the right time.
Ricky, let's turn to the opener tonight, or I shouldn't say tonight, this afternoon, with Miles Mikolas on the mound because of the injury to Sonny Gray. It sounds like Sonny's not too far away, so that's good news. Just got to build him up at this point, it sounds like. But Miles has talked about how much fun it would be. I'm paraphrasing, but how much fun it would be to go in there and ruin the Dodgers opening day and opening weekend. And I got to believe, kind of tying into what you said about the two games against the Cubs and, you know, all the buzz about the Dodgers, I got to believe that a lot of Miles' teammates feel like that would be a lot of fun too.
Yeah, and Miles is the kind of the right personality to start an opening day in a hostile situation. Not everybody can handle that, but Miles is a pretty strong guy mentally, and he's pretty much his own guy. And, you know, Lance Lynn's the same kind of guy, too.
He's
kind of, you know, you don't really worry about them kind of rising to whatever the occasion is. But I think, you know, there's probably a little thought in the back of his head that said, boy, I really would like to mess up this party here. And, you know, and he actually pitched really well in spring training.
Yeah.
He finished well, and, you know, he's kind of earned this spot. Of course, Sonny Gray, you know, should have had it, would have had it, had he not gotten the hamstring. But and the good news is on the injury front, it seems like most guys are, I don't know about Tommy Edman, but most guys are kind of progressing towards being ready sooner than later.
Ricky, on the pitching staff, obviously the rotation's been the number one conversation throughout the offseason, and they added the three guys. Obviously, Sonny won't be there right away, but will be very soon. You mentioned Lance Lynn. Kyle Gibson looked great in the last game against the Cubs, the last exhibition game against the Cubs. What do you make of the makeup of the rotation, and what do you make of my observation that while he may not be full in the rotation all the time, that Zach Thompson, who, by the way, starts game two, might be one of the more important guys as you look at having good quality depth starters for not only this year, but moving into the future.
You could argue that he had the best spring training of any of the starting pitchers. I mean, I think that's a pretty good argument. I mean, he pitched well. He didn't give up a lot of hits. You know, he's pretty precise. And, you know, there's always been a lot of focus with Zach Thompson on his velocity because sometimes he's in the 95, 96, 97 range, and sometimes he's at 93.
Yeah.
And I'm less worried about that. I know everybody, the red flags go up, even in the Cardinals dugout, I think they do. It's like, oh, boy, his fastball's not there today. It's like, well, can he win? Can he pitch? Can he get people out? And he's not going to have his best stuff every day, the best fastball every day. But I think his breaking ball's improved. I think he's got a very kind of honed-in mentality about earning that starting rotation over that job in the starting rotation over Matthew Libertor. And Libertor is actually happy. Wheels going to the bullpen. I think that's kind of a good – I think he feels
good.
that could be an opportunity for him. So I just think there's a lot of kind of positive vibes as it relates to kind of the mix of older guys, the young guys, and the new kind of big-time arms in the bullpen. I think that's going to be maybe our big story.
Yeah, I think the bullpen, you know, the rotation was a major conversation coming out of last year. The bullpen was, I think, every bit as – much of an issue last year and could be every bit as important as a part of a turnaround this year, not just with the guys that are new, of course, but hopefully a healthy Ryan Helsley, hopefully get Gallegos back to where he was. But, Rick, I know that you don't have to miss bats to get people out, but it's nice to have some of those guys that are throwing 95 to 100 and do that on a regular basis.
And much more important for relievers than it would be. I mean, it's important for starters, too, but I think definitely it's important for relievers to have the kind of stuff where you can miss bats. And that could be a breaking ball. It could be even a changeup in some cases. Keenan Middleton, I think I'm kind of bummed that he's starting out on the injured list.
Yeah.
He was missing bats with a pretty nasty changeup, and that would have been a good mix to throw out there. Andre Pallante seems much better than he was last year. He's got a better, sharper curveball, which I think is important. And you know, the Cardinals roster – And you know this, Wheels, 38% turnover from last year. It was necessary. You needed to kind of move in different directions. And maybe the biggest direction is pitching, not only the rotation, but also the bullpen, where you've got Kittredge, you've got O'Brien. And I think those two guys can be late-inning guys, too. And
yeah.
So Helsley doesn't have to have the ninth every day. And that's I think that's a – you know, it's always been true in baseball. It's getting more and more true. You have to have two closers or three. I mean, honestly, that's just the way the game is going. If starters are going to go five, you can't win five games in a row. Your closer can't pitch 5 days in a row. So you're going to have somebody else close out the game if you want to go on a winning streak, or otherwise you're giving up games. So to have, you know, other guys with some experience out in the bullpen late, I think is going to be helpful.
All right, Ricky, last thing. Give me a scouting report on the broadcast booth. How are you guys doing? Are you guys ready for opening day? You and John and Jim Jackson and Mike Claiborne, you guys ready for opening day?
We are so ready. I will say we had a blast in spring training. Spring training is always fun. And then you know, like a lot of things in baseball, you turn the page and then you start getting amped up about it again. And we're all very excited. We, you know, we get along so great, Wheels. I mean, I've got some great teammates. Of course, Jim Jackson keeps us all straight too. It is a really fun thing. And we're looking forward to not only starting the season, but also coming back to St. Louis and starting the St. Louis baseball season, and that's going to be wonderful.
All right. Well, we're going to turn this over to you guys here in just a little bit. Not quite yet. We got a little more work to do, but we'll turn this over to you guys in a little bit. Looking forward to the call of the game today here on KMOX and, of course, across the Cardinals Radio Network. We will see you next week on opening day, sir. Thanks so much.
You bet, Wheels.
You love Rick Horton. He's the best.
You got to love him.
Love talking ball with Rick Horton. So Rick and John, of course, on the call tonight. Coming up in about an hour and 40 minutes, a little less than 2 hours. We got pregame starting at 2:15, the first pitch scheduled for 3:10. You get to John and Rick right around 3 o'clock for their version, or their portion, I should say, of the pregame show. And very much looking forward to just getting this thing started, man. It's opening day 2024. We are we're baseball from now until, I don't know, whenever. Probably well, at the end of sports open line, because certainly the game is not going to go well into the night unless...
Unless
it does.
Unless
they go like 14, 15 innings. We don't have to worry about that. So we got a lot coming your way. Up next, we're going to tell you about the opening day starting lineup, what's notable about it, what's interesting about it, how the Cardinals are matching up against the Dodgers today here on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX. It's Thursday on DGS, but really not DGS. Dave is out. Rachel's not here. Andrew and I are still here hanging out. Tom Ackerman's going to join us just after 1:30. We're just doing a pregame for the pregame. So this is the pregame. Talking Cardinals baseball up until about 2:10. At 2:15, Matt Pauly takes over. He'll walk you up till about 3 o'clock, and then that's when John and Rick and Klaibs and Jim Jackson take over for the official lineups and all of that stuff. The ceremonies from L.A. First pitch is scheduled for 3:10. Today here on KMOX. And just a quick look, not going to get too in-depth on this, but a quick look at the opening day lineups, especially with the focus on the Cardinals. I mean, the Dodgers lineup is it's good. It's loaded. It's Betts, Ohtani, Freeman. That's your first three. I mean, you got three MVP candidates right there in your top three spots. We know the Dodgers are loaded. They are everybody's pick to win the West. It's basically down to them and the Braves. Those are the teams everybody's picking to win the National League and go to the World Series. The Dodgers are huge, huge favorites in terms of, you know, who's going to win it all this year. But for opening day, you just got to win opening day. You don't have to go out and win the World Series in this four-game series. People don't like to hear these things, but if you come out 2-2 with this four-game series, that's a good start to the year. Tyler Glass now starting for the Dodgers, one of the 10 most talented pitchers on the planet. He's healthy, he's throwing the ball well, and it's going to be a tough matchup for Miles Michaelis. I thought the Cardinals lineup is interesting because, you know, it's not the lineup you expected to have when you came into spring training, especially at the bottom end of it. But Donovan, Goldschmidt, Gorman, Arenado, Contreras, that first five is really good. Burleson is the DH today. Jordan Walker is in right field. So you have quality 1-7 in the batting lineup. And then after that, you've got elite speed. Victor Scott II making his major league debut today, starting in center field. Mason Wynn is the shortstop. So you've got two guys that bring elite speed to the game at the bottom of the order. So when you look at it, you've got left-right balance, you got good power in the top 5, 6, 7 spots, and you got great speed at the bottom of the order. For a lineup that's not the one you planned on, for a lineup that is not the one you wanted, or not the one you were expecting to have, that's pretty damn good. Because you've got quality proven hitters, basically 1-5, and you've got two really good hitters right after that in Burleson and Walker, and then you've got these kids that bring elite speed. I saw Victor Scott II today, by the way, was asked by reporters in Los Angeles, you know, he's a rookie, describe his game, and he's like, I'm bringing modern-day Whitey ball. I'm like, man, not only is he fast and not only is he good, but he gets it. If you're out there listening and you hear somebody say, I want to bring a little Whitey ball, and he's learning from Vince Coleman and Willie McGee, that's pretty cool. Got to find out if he can hit Major League pitching. And the process of learning that starts today. First pitch coming up on KMOX at 3:10. All right, it's Thursday on DGS, but really kind of a little different DGS because there's no DG. No Rachel. Andrew's here. I'm here. Tom Ackerman is here joining us, a semi-regular here on the show. We would consider you, Tom, kind of a honorary cast member of the show. How's that sound?
Oh, I love that. I love being part of the show. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Dude, it's my favorite day of the year. I don't think I have a day that I love more. Not the first day of the tournament, not New Year's Day, not Christmas Day, definitely not my birthday. I like opening day better than all of them.
I'm right there with you. This one, the home opener. I love the first full day of March Madness. Doesn't get much better than this. It really is special. And, you know, it's been a long time since the Cardinals played a meaningful baseball game. I mean, a really long time. I mean, the offseason has been since early last summer,
yeah,
if we're being honest
really.
With ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's time to play a baseball game. And, you know, we field all the comments from fans, and I think it's legitimate. I mean, they're upset, and the Cardinals are upset also, and it's time to put last year behind this club and play.
No doubt, and obviously opening day, first pitch is set up for 3:10. Tyler Glasnow, Miles Michaelis. Tom, I know I was talking a bit before the bottom of the hour that for a lineup that isn't the one that you planned on having when you started spring training, that's a pretty good opening day lineup. Now, there are questions. I mean, you've got two guys at the bottom, the young guys, Victor Scott II and Mason Winn, that have a lot to prove as hitters at the major league level. But the way that I broke it down is 1 through 5, you know exactly what you're getting, and you've got tons of power in there. Burleson and Walker give you really interesting elements. Both of them hit the ball very hard. Burleson, a lot of contact. Walker has the power, if he gets the ball in the air, to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And then after that, we're just talking world-class speed that has to prove they can hit major league pitching.
A lot of attention on Victor Scott, and
yeah,
he is a game changer, and without a doubt. When he's on base, he can get everyone's attention. And I think maybe this takes a little bit of attention off Mason Winn because, you know, he's making his big debut at shortstop as a starter on opening day. If you can get one or two of them on base, as you just noted, as the 8-9 hitters in the lineup, and then those big boys drive them in, now you're talking. So, yeah, I think it's a big deal, actually, to have those two on the back end. And I feel terrible for Dylan Carlson because he had such a good spring. He drove in 13. He hit 3 home runs. He led the team in both of those categories. He was motivated. He was focused on adding more authority to his swing. He looked great. He can hit from both sides, but I'll tell you what, Victor Scott is a game changer, and if he ends up, and I heard you and Matt Pauly talking about it last night, if he ends up taking this job and running with it, you'll have some decisions to make, but that's what you want. You know, you want Zach Thompson tomorrow to pitch lights out so that you can have a tough decision to make when Sonny Gray rejoins this rotation. That's what you want.
Yeah.
You want great players to emerge out of this. If the Cardinals are going to go win a world championship, they need unexpected contributions. And one of those would be Victor Scott just taking this job and going Vince Coleman. I can't imagine him going Albert Pujols, but I can imagine him.
A little different animal, you know,
Yeah. Taking the job and saying, nope, I'm not going back down. I'm going to show you guys that I'm going to take this job and take it all year.
You know, with all the excitement of the two kids, and let's throw Walker into that too. This team has a bunch of young players. Ivan Herrera is another one. A bunch of guys that are age 23 and younger, including Nolan Gorman, by the way, and which is crazy to think that he's still only 23 with the amount of major league at bats we've seen from him. But with all of the excitement of those younger guys and the potential that they have and the upside, this team needs Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado to be Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado.
Without question, and I think Arenado is going to have a really good year. I expect Paul Goldschmidt to have a solid year. I didn't love what I saw from him in the spring. His timing seemed off, but, you know, hopefully he can flip a switch and just be back to Goldie. But Nolan Arenado, even in a down year for him, almost had the 30 home runs, 100 RBIs that he's accustomed to, and he was nagged by a back injury. Both of those players, to me, their greatest skill, Kevin, is staying on the field.
Somehow they
are able to play an entire season. And if you get Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado playing a full year, you're going to be in really good shape. Arenado, he came to St. Louis with the thought in mind, and he continued to opt in on this experience because he thinks he has a shot at winning a world championship. So the hope is during this window that you have those two players that you can build the team around them. And I know that Cardinals fans right now don't think that they have the team that is good enough to build around them, but we're only in March. I mean, I think that if they stay in the race by the trade deadline, that's when you drop the hammer and you can help those two. Those two are legitimate MVP candidates. And I keep migrating towards Arenado because he's younger. One, I think he is motivated to bounce back from last year and have a big year. And there's no question in my mind that those two, and then the guy who hits fifth, you know, Wilson Contreras is a veteran also with a championship ring who I think has something to prove. I think he belongs in that category of a player that wants to show that he is one of the better in the National League at his position. I think last year was a tough situation for him. Replacing Yachty, number one. Number two, he comes out of spring training, or he goes into spring training and decides, I'm opting out of the World Baseball Classic. All right, who's with me? And then everybody's in the WBC.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he has to adjust to being Yachty's replacement. Things go sideways. It's kind of a get-to-know-you year for him. So I would put Wilson in that conversation as well. He won't win MVP, but I do think that he can be a huge factor for this team in the middle of the order.
Yeah, you know, what gets lost in all of last year is he had a terrible April at the plate, but from May until September, he was awesome, and he ended up having probably his second-best offensive season as a major league player. So, you know, he really figured that out. And I wanted to ask you about Wilson because the worries have always been around his defense and not his throwing. We should be clear. He is a great thrower. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's always rated well at throwing runners out, and that's more important in baseball now than it has been at any point, really, in the last 10, 15, 20 years. But there's been a lot of buzz about some adjustments that he made with his receiving technique and his ability to present pitches to umpires. Did you see any of that when you were down in spring? Did you hear any buzz about that?
Yeah, a little bit of that. I think that he looks good and solid behind the plate. He's a good target. He's a big guy. He's got a nice ability to block, but he's not Yachty, you know. So we're all accustomed to Yachty or Molina. That's the thing, is that he's just not going to be Yachty. But he has adequate ability to defend. He calls a good game, I think, is the number one thing that you want to see out of him, is that pitchers trust him. You mentioned the cannon, so he's going to control the running game. Now, we actually saw that in Mesa. You know, he looked good behind the plate, and then he hit a bomb also. I like what Ricky Horton said with you last segment, too, and I think that Wilson kind of leads the charge on this. The Cardinals, and look, the Cubs are trying to wrap up spring training and get out of town. I understand that. They're not treating this like it's game seven of the World Series. But the Cardinals went in there. They swept them. They won both games pretty soundly. And I do think that is a boost to their confidence. And I like that Ricky, who has a good read on this, and he would tell you if this wasn't the case, that the body language and the vibe of the team was good going from Mesa to L.A. And I think a lot of that has to do with Contreras. From what I could tell in spring training, the guy with the biggest smile, the guy who, you know, likes to bond with players, the guy who was playing around while during bullpen sessions he was trying to pitch and the pitchers were cracking up watching him. He is a really good teammate, and that is Contreras. And I see a big difference from him from last year as like the new kid at school to this year.
All right, let's talk about this. We'll close on this, Tom. We're going to talk about the rotation, which is the source of everybody's anxiety. And look, rightfully so, because a lot of what has to happen with this rotation outside of Sonny Gray. Once Sonny Gray's healthy, I don't have any real worry about his performance. He's coming off, you know, finishing second in the American League Cy Young Award. He's a very talented guy. I'm not really concerned about what we expect from him, but it's everybody else where the anxiety exists. Miles gets the start today, coming off his worst season since joining the Cardinals. Lance Lynn starting in this rotation, coming off his worst season as a major leaguer. Steven Matz has his questions, especially about durability. Kyle Gibson is not so much a question. I think we know what he is. The question is, you know, are they going to need more than what he typically brings? So let's just your thoughts on that rotation and, you know, whether or not there is hope that a couple of these guys can turn back the clock a couple years.
Yeah, I'll go through it really quickly in order. I think that Michaelis is a strike thrower, so you're going to have to live with some hard contact today. He is going to get contact. Hopefully it's feeble contact.
Hopefully
but
on the ground.
He's going to have some contact. He's going to throw strikes and they're going to hit it. Now, whether the Cardinals make plays in the outfield, he won't walk many people. You know, he's going to try to get through this thing and pitch his six innings and turn it over to the bullpen. I think Michaelis is stable. I think he's healthy, and I think he's motivated to have a good year. Zach Thompson, I think, gets undersold a little bit. I think Thompson, with his new pitch, the changeup, and hitters don't know where that thing is going. I mean, sometimes it drops like a forkball. Sometimes it flutters like a knuckleball. Zach doesn't even know where it's going sometimes. He's throwing this new pitch, and it's hitting for strikes, but it's also fooling a lot of people, and I think it's a big, big thing. The third pitcher is Lance Lynn. Lance obviously has to cut down on the home runs he gave up last year. He probably will. The biggest thing for Lance is to be durable and to get through 5-6 innings, turn it over to the bullpen as well. Lance was going to throw a ton of fastballs, and he is going to be a leader on this team. And the hope is that he can power his way through this season and have a good year. I'm pretty interested in Steven Matz. You know, I'd like to know if Matz actually can be durable. You know, the Cardinals brought him in to be a stable veteran starter, and to be honest, he has not been that. And he's the youngest of the bunch. Now Zach is, but he's the youngest of the five starters that they projected to begin this season. He's got to be good for them. And then Kyle Gibson was great against the Cubs. I'd love to see him obviously replicate that. He's a winner. He won 15 games for the Orioles last year. I think that Kyle will be called upon to do exactly what the Cardinals set out to do: acquire innings, turn this over to a pretty good bullpen. I mean, it is a good bullpen. I go back to Sonny Gray, though, and you just said it at the beginning. You know, people will look at this rotation that the Cardinals set out. It's not going to be this rotation for much longer. Sonny is fine.
Right.
He's throwing down there. He's going to throw probably at AAA one time. He is legitimate. I mean, for people who don't remember Sonny Gray is legitimately, if he's not a top 10 pitcher in baseball, when he's healthy, he's top 15. He is a legitimate ace, and I think that he helps this team immensely.
Tommy, kick back and enjoy, buddy. We're looking forward to it. We've got our official pregame coming up in about a half an hour. Matt Pauly takes over at 2:15, 3:10 first pitch. Looking forward to it, buddy. Thanks so much. Have fun.
Can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch this. Appreciate it.
There you go. That's our very own Tom Ackerman as we build you up toward opening day on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX. Welcome into our opening day coverage here on KMOX. This hour technically is normally DGS. It's our round table, if you will, with Amy and Ronj and Andrew and Rachel and Dave and me. But the only people that are here are me and Andrew. And we're going to take you up till about 2:10. And then at 2:15, Matt Pauly is going to take over with the official Cardinals Radio Network pregame show. So we are the pregame show for today. And then, of course, Cardinals baseball first pitch, Cards and Dodgers at 3:10. All right, let's take a look at today's game. I have an interesting, I don't know how I want to phrase it. Maybe an interesting piece of potential strategy for you to look at in the matchup today. With Miles Michaelis starting for the Cardinals and, of course, Tyler Glasnow on the Dodgers side. The Dodgers lineup has six left-handed hitters in it today. Miles is obviously going, the goal for Miles will be to go get six-plus innings. I mean, that's going to be the plan. But the guy that I'm really interested about today to see how he could be deployed as a weapon in this game is actually Matthew Liberatore. If you look at the Dodgers lineup, I mentioned six guys that are left-handed hitters. That doesn't, the left-left matchup doesn't really bother Shohei Ohtani or Freddie Freeman at all. I'm not really talking about how you match up against them. They're not coming out of the lineup. There's no pinch hitter for them, and they both hit left-handed pitching well. In fact, last year, Freeman had better numbers against lefties than righties. But when you look at the lineup from number five on down, four of those last five hitters in the lineup are lefties. Max Muncy is the third baseman. You've got Outman in center field, Jason Hayward in right, and Gavin Lux in the second baseman. All four of those guys have struggled badly against left-handed pitching compared to their right-handed numbers. So if you're looking at something middle of the game where you might want to play a little strategy, you might see Matthew Liberatore come into the game where he could go even a couple of innings depending on the matchups. Now, one thing to watch in all of that, and this is how nerdy I am. This is why I'm bringing this up, because I'm a super nerd and I got to get it out of my head. One of the things the Dodgers might counter with there is basically a line change. They've got a bunch of right-handed bats on the bench like Kike Hernandez, Chris Taylor. They often will make that line change, if you will, in the middle of a game if a lefty comes in, depending on the circumstance. Like if there are runners on base, they tend to do that because they want to maximize that opportunity to score runs. Well, then that allows the Cardinals to flip around and come back with their good right-handers like Gallegos or Helsley or Kittredge. And by the way, Andrew Kittredge, specifically really strong against righties because of that breaking pitch, because of his slider. So I'm really interested in that, the tactical side of this on opening day. Do you actually push Miles? Let's say he's going reasonably well. Do you push him into the sixth or the seventh inning, or do you think about forcing the Dodgers' hand a little bit with a guy like Libertor that can get 5-6 outs, no problem, because he's built up like a starter. And then when they start to substitute, which they probably would, you can then counter that with your strong right-handers that you have lined up in the bullpen after that. So I find that whole thing to be really interesting because, again, lefties don't bother Ohtani or Freeman very much, so you wouldn't do it specifically there. But when you get past the catcher, Will Smith, who's batting cleanup, and you get to Muncy and Outman and Hayward and Lux, that's a really good stretch. Now, they're not in order. Teoscar Hernandez is mixed in there. He's right after Muncy, and he crushes lefties, so probably have to be a little bit careful about that specific matchup. But, again, interesting potential tactics. See how Ollie's going to handle that today.